Welcome to A Voice of a People. Now something's still playing. What is that? Welcome to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. My name is Linda Sims, and the name of the program is A Voice of a People. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn. You can download on free app called TuneIn and search on any electronic device. Cell phone, iPhone, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH and take advantage of the important and other programs that we have to offer you. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement and it goes like this. Free produce market every second Saturday of every month. From 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at 582 Lee Street. When you do show up, come with your ID, state ID, or your driver's license. Remember, no appointment necessary, but be ready to provide name and number of people in your family. We have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939, and they are out of LaRue, Ohio. I have a couple announcements. Child's Evangelism Fellowship of Greater Findlay. Luncheon and silent auction will take place Saturday, November the 9th, 211 East Carroll Street, Kenton, Ohio. For tickets or information, contact Cheryl Lee, 740-262-0939. I will be announcing that again since it's so far in advance. Also, October the 26th, 2019, Breast Cancer Awareness Day. Where will this event take place? It is at 9:30 a.m., meet and greet, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., light luncheon provided. This will take place at King's Temple Apostolic Church. I have a thought for you today. The greatest gift and sacrifice and offering is love. We're doing a show about love today. And my guest is Pastor Rowan Anderson from Four Square Gospel, the gathering place here in Marion, Ohio. And I think that's Eastland Center.
Mount Vernon Avenue. Yes.
He and his beautiful wife, Megan Anderson, and his two lovely daughters, and they are all in the ministry, which is a very special, special.
So grateful.
Oh, I know you are. You just have to be. Yes. That is such a blessing that the whole family is involved. If you would like to be a part of this conversation, please call 740-383-9944. You may have questions. You might even want to make some comments. But call your friends and your neighbors.
That's right. Join the conversation. You will not be disappointed.
So how are you doing today?
I am doing really, really well. The weather is changing a little bit. And, you know, living in Ohio, you can have 70 degree weather one day and drop to 50 the other day, but I am grateful, and there are a lot of benefits to the change of the weather. So a lot of people getting excited about Thanksgiving, of course, and then our people who love Christmas, you know, all the all the Christmas people. So we got to give a shout out to them.
People got their jackets out, their hats out, their scarves on. They were ready, right?
They are ready for this
boots
change.
On. Yeah, ready to change their clothes and all that. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I could do another couple of months though of the nice. You know, about 65, 70, and I don't mind when it's hot,
right,
but I prefer
about
65, 70 is where I'm good.
Wow.
I'm good at that degree, that temperature, so.
Well, Pastor Rowe, I know many of you have heard of him being the new pastor at the Four Square Gospel. Also, he is fluent in our community, he's the head of some of these ministries that are going on, and a lot of them are taking place at your church.
Relationship with
God, relationship with people.
Absolutely.
You're doing all that, and he texts me and says, well, I'm going to change the subject. I was going to talk about this book I'm writing, but he says, I'm going to talk about love.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, he's going to wreck your life today.
Oh, absolutely. It wrecked my life.
Bring it on.
So I appreciate coming on this show, Minister Linda. It is a joy. Whenever you invite me or sometimes invite myself,
right. It's
always a joy to be here. I changed the topic because I really believe that, not just as a pastor, and I will give full disclosure, October is Pastor's Appreciation Month, so of course, October is a great month. But it's also a great month because, not only for me personally, but there's a lot of people that I know in my church and people that I have a relationship with, and a lot of them got married in the month of October.
Really?
Yeah, so I did a search, and you have different websites will give different conclusions, but I do know that October is a very popular month for people to get married. Some I'm reading is because the seasons are great, and if you're a photographer,
right?
Just a change in season and the leaves, and this is just a pretty environment. And so because of that, my anniversary, celebrating 26 years, and my brother and some members of our church and some of our leaders in the Four Square movement, their anniversary is in October. And just the timing of God to really share this message of what I call your love life. Mm-hmm. And it's really at the heart of God. And anytime you can discuss the heart of God, we're onto something.
Right.
We are definitely onto investigating what that really means and to know God's heartbeat.
Right.
And so that's why I decided to change the topic to just discuss your love life and what that's all about, So when I was texting you, I wanted to put a little disclaimer, because when we say your love life, people automatically may think something different than what I'm referring to. And as I was thinking, here is what we need to get into. I'm just going to jump right into it.
Okay.
Is your love life is really about sacrificial love.
Yeah.
That, I believe, is the number one, I don't even want to call it remedy, excuse me. I believe it is actually the redemptive history of God.
Okay.
Is found in this concept of sacrificial love.
Right.
And we ought to live that out with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I believe anything short of that will continue to have us in this current climate, of hatred and those different things that we're finding. So there is no relationship that you can have that doesn't bring itself back to that foundational root of God's sacrificial love that he has for us. So, yeah, so that's why I thought the topic would be neat to discuss and dive into it. Yeah, I believe that.
And timely because, today we live in a world that we wonder, where is love?
Yes.
Because everything looks so unpeaceful.
Right.
Uncertain.
Yep.
People are killing one another.
Sure.
And, then we have the drugs and the overdose of that and... we have our youth, and they're running around in circles. I'm not saying all, but we do have a lot.
Absolutely.
A lot more than we should, I believe, And people want to know, where am I loved? Do people love me?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not. So I'll just continue to, you know, do what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, so I don't know if that pertains to some of the things that you're talking about as far as love. Are we getting that message out there to people who really need it?
So I think there's a couple of things. I think everybody wants to be loved.
Right.
That's a universal desire.
Right.
Of every human heart. And even animals want to be loved.
True.
Right.
Yeah.
I think where we need to align ourselves back in is to understand, before you can be loved, you have to understand that you are in love. And that's where it all starts. So we have people on this end of everything, be it a political climax, mm-hmm. a climate,
mm-hmm.
or even your home. Let's bring it to your home. Let's bring it to a coworker.
Right.
Remember, there's no relationship that you can have that cannot find its root, or it needs to find its root in the sacrificial love of God.
Okay.
And so everybody wants to be loved. Everybody. I'm talking the inmates in prison,
mm-hmm.
and the individuals, even in your classroom, you know,
right.
your child's classroom. The person who is being a bully wants to be loved.
Wants love.
The person who's addicted to drugs wants to be loved.
Right.
The issue that we're having, though, is that people don't realize that they are in love. And that's where we need to start.
Whoa.
We need to start right at that place right there and define not just who you're in love with, but what are you in love with? Okay. So everyone's jumping at this end of, we want to be loved and, you know, and all the different taglines and slogans. But Ms. Linda, I believe that's what the challenge is. And so, as a pastor,
mm-hmm.
when I look at the scriptures, it is the only, I don't want to call it documents, the only book that's actually God's love letter to us.
True.
So you can debate whether, you know, the book and everything like that, but mm-hmm. I'm a simple mm-hmm. person.
Right.
Right? And one of the examples I use is when I was dating Megan,
mm-hmm.
and we were apart because I was pursuing my pastoral call and going to Bible college. I'm not a big writer, but because I was in love with Megan, mm-hmm. I wrote letters all the time.
Oh my. Expressing all the that time. Love, right?
Correct. So it wasn't just about me being loved. I was in love.
Okay.
And so I was writing her these letters because I wanted Megan at least once a week to get a letter written by me
mm-hmm.
to know my heart and what I was doing, because I wanted to continue this relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I can do that for Megan, how much more is the scriptures God's love letter to us?
Right.
So as opposed to debate in his love letters, why don't we read them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, right. Let's read them and see what God really has to say to us, because that's where everything I believe is at. So,
right.
So that's why I begin by saying, let's first address, in order for you to be loved, you have to understand that, first of all, you are in love.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is in love with someone or something. Every single person. It could be you're in love with coffee. It could be you're in love with your cat. It could be you're in love right. with your work.
Right.
You
right.
name it. There's not one person on the planet that can tell me, I'm not in love.
Mm.
No, you're in love.
I told you he's going to wreck your dad.
Right. You're in love. And so
you're in love with something.
You're in love
right?
with someone or something.
Whoa.
And we begin that. We begin that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at Jesus and he says, when they ask the question, now here's a question. What is the greatest commandment of all? I mean, how do you argue that? I mean, any institution, mm-hmm. you ask them, and it's going to be a place of the greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So mm-hmm. that's why I begin by saying, you're in love, because why would Jesus command something
true.
That we're not?
That's true. Love me first, then love your neighbor as yourself.
Correct. So if he's given a command to do
right,
something,
right.
it means that it's in us.
To love.
And so that's where the totality of the redemptive history and the reconciliation of humanity lies within this place of the love of God, right? And that's the key. So it's not because I'm a pastor I'm saying this. It's because it's what God said.
Right. That's what he said.
So I want our listening audience to pick any relationship. Pick any relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that if you understand the biblical revelation of the love of God, you're going to be on the right path to accomplish great things in your life.
Right.
To accomplish great things in your life. And so that person, I believe, that's addicted, of course there is a lot of science and different things that, you know, that goes in the brain. I'm not discounting any of that.
Right.
I'm just simply saying that we are in love with someone or something. Let's look at sports. Come on, you can't look at this college football, OHIO, and tell me that you're not going to stay out in the freezing cold if they play the horseshoe against, you know, the team up north. You know, they play against Michigan.
Right.
And you don't love football.
That's true.
You don't love the Ohio State. Of course you do.
Yeah.
You're in love.
Yes.
So that's my, that's my that's why I made the statement. You're in love. You know, we are in love. And so if we can start there, that we can progress to the place of how to be loved.
Right.
You know, and that's what I propose. And so we have marital problems and we have all those things because we have confused the two. And that's why I'm here really today to just to talk about that.
So we have to learn now how to be loved.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
Because we are in love.
There you go.
But we don't know how to receive love for ourselves. That's what you're saying?
Yes. And so because we are in love, we can't be loved because God tells us you can't have no other lover.
Yeah.
So he wants to get to a place of saying, I actually hear what you want. Let me give you what you need. Right. So I know what you want.
Right.
Let me give you what you need.
Yes.
And
that is
the big shift that needs to take place.
Right.
That we are in love because this is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
But God is saying you need to be loved because that's what you need.
Right. And because of what you want may not necessarily give you the love that you need.
There you go. There you go. There you go. So now let's picture two people. Now let's bring in a relational perspective.
Okay.
Let's bring a man and a woman together. Can you see the chaos?
Oh, yeah.
Of both wanting to be loved.
Yes.
But they don't realize that they're in love with something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so the language is confusing, right?
Right.
So we have, which is, I think is a great thing, your love language. But that's the wrong question. Your love language deals with the emotion, and it's all great.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to find out from people is your love life. Discuss your love life. And you'll be able to get to people's core of who they are.
Mm.
Your love language.
Take notes.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of them, of course, are quality time and words of affirmation. Those things are great because I'm in love.
Right.
But to be loved, oh, we got to go back, way back to the scriptures to fully understand all that because it's really what I need. And God knows what you need. And now he's just concerned about what you want.
And we don't. Why
Correct.
Are we so hard-headed about that anyway?
Well, and there you go, right? So, so here's what really got me. That in Ephesians chapter 5, he tells me, and this is, again, it's, you know, anniversary month. And so he tells me, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her.
Right.
That wasn't a suggestion. That was a command.
Right, right.
So why would he command me to do something that I can't do? So obviously God knows I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, I'm asking myself, how do I do it?
Right, right.
How do I do that?
How do I do it?
Right. So the first thing needs to be, I need to identify that I'm in love with something or someone. I need to be able to look at that. And that's where we begin. And that's where we start. And so... Excuse me. And so you look at scripture, we see it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing a study on this. And the first time the word love is mentioned, from when I did it, look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham is told to sacrifice Isaac. And listen to what the scripture says. The first time it's being mentioned, listen to what the word mentions. Yes. It says now, God is love. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear. It's not love is God.
Right, right.
God is love.
Right.
So starting from there, God is love. And it begins and it says, God's about to test Abraham. Mm-hmm. Because he wants to know, Abraham, I don't want to know your love language. I want to know your love life. Mm. I mean, we're talking about Father Abraham. You know what I mean?
Right.
We see this song, I had many sons, right? So
right.
If you look at it just from that perspective, okay. But what he's saying is this. He says, Abraham, I'm going to test you because I want to know if you are in love with anything else, with anyone else.
Right.
And so he now comes, and it's interesting because in verse 2, he says this. Look at the key. He says, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac. That would have been good.
Right.
But he continues on, whom you love.
He sure did, didn't
Not
he?
Who I love.
Right, but whom you love.
Whom you love.
Oh, my.
So he says, look what God said to Abraham. Abraham, I know you're in love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he starts right from there. The first time, he said, Abraham, I know you're in love. And so he now gets to this place of where he wants us to understand, mm-hmm. Do you love me more? Because you really can't love Isaac.
If you don't love me.
Until you love me. So anybody, I'm not saying there are not good marriages. Of course they are. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I want a godly marriage.
Of course. You want the best.
You want the best, right?
Yes.
So if people can be in love, mm-hmm. And have a great thing, how much more when people who know that they are loved,
right,
where they're supposed to be. And so that's why it's so critical, it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we take a look at that. And so really the question becomes, you're in love. And he begins with that. And when I saw that, Mr. Lada, I'm like, what you talking about, God? What are you trying to tell me? The first place that this, now the concept of it, of course, existed prior to that.
Right.
But the very word and the very example and the demonstration of it is where he says, you're one and only. Hold on a second here. Here's the key. Abraham had another son. His name was Ishmael.
Yes.
So why would God say, you're one and only?
Oh my.
Whom you love.
Right.
And see, here's the deal. Ishmael was a problem. Isaac was the promise.
Problem.
And a lot of times, what we do is we give God our problems and we hold on to the promise because we don't really trust him. And so we have multiple things to give God. That's not really whom we love. God's like, oh, I don't want you to give me the things that you don't want. Don't give me the stuff that you don't want. Yeah.
Like I want it, right?
You know what I mean? Like that's all. Oh, I got plenty of these. No, give me the very thing, the one thing that you have, the very core of who you are, the thing that you love, give that to me.
Right.
And that's what God is doing in these days, I believe now. He's saying that my love is the answer. Mm-hmm. And I sent that in the form of Jesus Christ. He says, but we have multiple lovers. And he wants to get to a place to where we understand. Mm. Whom do you love? Is it sports? Is it an athlete?
Mm-hmm.
Is it affirmation? Even the very things that are good are not necessarily God.
Wow, that's true. And that's what threw me under the bus.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not everything that is good is necessarily God.
And
right?
you said, I'm not saying, he said, you said it like this. God is not saying it's not good, but it's not my best.
Correct. Correct. And why do we not want God's best?
I want his best.
With my child. I want to raise my children. I want to have the best relationship with my two girls.
That's true.
I want to have the best relationship I can have, you know, with my church. I want to have the best relationship I can have, first and foremost, with my wife.
Of course,
you know, that
should
have been the first thing. I want to have those relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of hard work. I am not by any means saying that because we understand this love and the heart of God, that's going to make relationships easier. I'm going to say you're going to give yourself an opportunity to actually win. We're giving you an opportunity to be able to walk out the very scripture. That God, in other words, we want to empower you.
Right.
God wants to empower us to be people that are living an amazing life that glorifies Him.
Yes.
And that brings the things that we need, right?
Right. Right.
And so that's the first thing that we're there. And so some people, they're in love with their pride. Some people, they're in love with a bunch of things, mm-hmm. right? And so here's the deal. So there's two things. Excuse me. We have to understand this about God. He was the first to love. And so in 1 John 4:9, He says, we love because He first loved us.
Right.
So when you think of the garden, you think of all that was taking place, that was God's love. Let there be light. Let there be, everything was about God's love. He's the one that said, let us make man our life's image. He initiated.
True. Right. He sure did.
Right. That's what He did. Mm-hmm. And there He places humanity and He says, this is my love for you. You lack nothing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else you need. Because everything you need, not your wants, everything you need.
Right.
Are provided for you. Mm. Now that word provide is a critical word in the Hebrew. So He says, I've provided everything for you. Mm-hmm. And then He sits back and He says, now love me. There's nothing that you need. I've given everything you need.
Right.
Now love me.
Love me.
And so that's the first thing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I first understand. So the first thing to heal a wounded heart that fell out of love, mm-hmm. and we're going to talk about why people fall out of love, mm-hmm. is to first understand that God first loved you. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can say that will cause God to love you anymore or love you any less. Right. God loves you. Now, people pervert that because they're in love and they don't mm-hmm. want to realize they need to be loved. The reason why God loves you is because you need to be loved. Mm. Not because you're in love. It's because you need to be loved. It's how He made you.
Right.
And so the fight that we're finding and the fight that I'm noticing is trying to get people who are in love to shift and to now be loved.
Right.
That's the battle that we're facing. And in between that, there's a multiple amount of things that go in between that, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So here's how the story unfolds now. So God gives them everything they need. Everything they need.
Right.
And so now in Genesis chapter 3, what we find now is what I call the first thing that happens. The first thing, the moment you realize now, I have a need. Remember the problem? Ishmael was the problem. Mm-hmm. Isaac was the promise.
Right.
That is what continues. So that continues throughout Scripture. So the first thing to identify the problem is, I want to be loved. No, the promise is that you are loved.
Okay.
Okay? You are loved. So I don't need anything else but God because I am loved by God.
Right.
So it's from that place now I can then love others. Mm-hmm. So here it comes now, and I, you know, the story. And this is where we have what I call the indecent proposal. Right? Because the word IN begins indecent. Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. I'm in love. And so the first thing is this indecent proposal. That's what we noticed. The first thing that happened between Adam and Eve
True.
Was this indecent proposal.
Right.
So we're seeing two people who are loved mm-hmm. are now about to fall in love. Mm-hmm. Right? So they were loved naked and not ashamed. Mm-hmm. They were loved. God visited them in the cool of the breeze. Right. They were in love. They had access to everything.
Everything.
And now an indecent proposal came because what the enemy wanted was to shift them from being loved to now falling in love.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. So don't begin any relationship by saying, I'm in love.
Right.
You begin relationship by saying, I know who loves me. I know that I'm loved because therefore I don't want from you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That's the first thing. Like, you...
I'm already loved.
I'm already loved. So I come from that place
right,
of already
right.
being loved, right? And so...
When that means I'm not desperate. I know
bingo.
I'm loved.
Bingo. There right. you go. Thank you for using the that's really what it is. And
right, desperation.
And
I want
since you mentioned that...
Me. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I am... Since you mentioned that, the amount of ladies...
Just desperate. They think they are.
Yeah.
They've convinced themselves that right. they are desperate.
Right.
And I've
right.
been in that place before.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a place of where, because they think of your love life mm-hmm. as physical, or let me rephrase it, because men think that more. It's where they think, I lack something. I need something.
Right,
I
right,
need to have a man.
Right,
I need right. to have this. I need to have that.
Right.
And it's a dangerous place to be.
It is dangerous.
It really is. It's a dangerous place. Because what happens is that you accept indecent proposals then.
Yes. Yes.
And now, instead of you becoming vulnerable, you become a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You become a victim. As opposed to being vulnerable, you become this victim. Right?
God allows it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think part of that is, again, that God is testing your love life.
Right.
Not tempting you in your love life. He's testing you, right?
Right.
Because, so here we quote Romans 8 all the time, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good.
Right.
Let's finish it up. All things work together for good. We love that part.
Right.
To them who what?
Love God.
There's the key. There's the key.
God.
To those who love God, right?
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, so that's the element, that's the part that we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we've got to get people to stop accepting indecent proposals.
Indecent proposals. That's powerful.
We got to stop them. Ladies, you got to stop it. Men, you got to stop offering them. You got to stop accepting them as well. Because men,
True. We
don't talk about that as often, but there are ladies out there that are, you know, taking advantage of men. You know, men don't want to say that because it's probably embarrassing, or you know, or people laugh, but it happens as well, right?
Yes, it does.
And so the first thing is this indecent proposal, because here's what happened. The enemy comes on the scene now, Genesis 3, and here's the question he asked. And I paraphrase it this way. Here's what he asked them. So how's your love life? That's what he asked them.
Mm.
How's the garden?
Right, right.
How is God? How is your love life with God going?
Right.
Because then he continues, goes right on, and he said, did God really say?
So they're testing him.
Indecent proposal.
Oh.
Right?
Right.
And that's what happens, right? And so he goes, he's asking him, how's the love life? How are things? And he got them right there. And what do? He gets them to think that there's something that they needed that God didn't provide.
Right.
He gets them to go and start believing the lie. And it was at that moment they fell in love. And that's what I'm talking about. So here we have people who have fallen in love coming together. That's why you fall apart. You don't fall in
let's
love.
Let's go back.
Yeah.
Let's go back. I missed something right there. Wait a minute. That's how we fall
mm-hmm.
in love
yeah.
by thinking
yeah.
we don't have what we supposed to have from God himself.
Correct.
So then somehow our feelings are turned to a person or an object or a thing, right?
Correct. And what happens is that object becomes our affection. That object becomes
of our affection.
Our, you know, the thing that we love. That becomes now the thing that we think we need. It is very challenging. It's very challenging, Minister Linda.
Yes, it is.
Because we confuse being single with being unmarried.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Being single, you have to be single because, well, Jesus wasn't married.
No.
He was the most fulfilled, content person on the planet. Love of the Father, didn't need anything, had the love of God. He even spoke to him, I'm pleased with you. So it's not a question, ladies, of being single.
Right.
Your issue is being unmarried.
Right.
And you're confusing, and men as well, being single with being unmarried.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really look at how Paul teaches,
right.
Paul says it's better you stay unmarried.
True.
And he gives the example for that. He says from his perspective, right? So he's explaining something. But we want to get to a place where we're single, where we are one in Christ, and where he becomes our fulfillment. Because mm-hmm. here's the deal. When I'm facing the Lord, I can't bring Megan with me. He says, well, no, we're married.
You said we were two
you
come together, and now we're one.
No, you're single.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're single.
And he deals with that individually.
Absolutely. And yes. I can testify to this, that the moment I embraced my singleness
mm-hmm.
was when God was releasing and sending and Megan to come my way. Because we weren't even in the same province.
Oh,
we weren't even in the same province.
Wow.
And so I believe that there are relationships held up because God is saying it's about your love life.
Oh, my. And I believe that. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I remember indecent proposals.
Bingo.
We all get them.
Bingo. We do.
We all get them.
We do.
You know? Right when you're satisfied with where you are with God.
Right.
Just like Adam and Eve. They were satisfied.
Correct.
They had everything they needed.
Right.
Until someone else came up and say, well, how's your love life?
Well, even Abraham and Sarah went through indecent proposals, right?
Yeah.
So in Genesis 16, we read of where he's about to go to Egypt. There's a famine. He's about to go to Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he turns to Sarah and says to her, Sarah, because you're good looking, because of your looks, they're going to kill me.
True.
So yes, your beauty is my burden. Oh. And how many men, come on. Your beauty is my burden. So tell them, let's go with the technicality, and let's go and tell them that you're my sister. And so God had to reveal that. And here's the thing I want to share with ladies as well. he says, why did you do this, Abraham? Like, why did you present this proposal? Like, you know, why did you do this?
Right.
Because Sarah was the woman of covenant. And until a lady realizes that you're a woman of covenant, come on.
Amen.
That you have value, that God protected her purity.
Right.
Even in the midst of the man's.
He sure did.
Come on.
In his bed, I think, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, because it, you know, happened some other time. It even happened with Isaac himself as well.
Right,
you're doing that stuff. So we see that with Abraham when it came to Egypt. Mm-hmm. But we also see with Sarah, because remember the problem. Remember, and so here is Sarah now saying, it's not coming through me. God has closed up my womb.
Right.
So in other words, there's a problem with our love life.
Right.
Come on.
Right. Right.
And so she goes now and she's talking about the problem of her love life that I'm not producing. So she says, why don't you go now and take Hagar, my Egyptian servant, you know, and sleep with her. And of course, Abraham was like, okay.
Why not, right?
You know what I'm saying? So again, we can see the whole concept of that. When we look at things from that perspective with these indecent proposals, it all really boils us down to here's what the case is. It's because it's about self-interest. Abraham was only thinking about himself, and he worded in such a way that he was thinking about Sarah. And Sarah was actually saying, well, God shut my womb, so it's got to come through this. And God is saying, didn't I promise you?
Right.
Didn't I promise you?
Oh, yes. Didn't I tell you?
Right. So if it doesn't have any evidence of God on it, trust me, don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. And it's very difficult. And so because we're in love, it's so hard for us to get to a place of saying, God, I just want to be loved. And God's like, I know that, right? And so that's the first thing that I noticed. And so that's the challenge. So if you are pursuing a relationship with somebody, you know, the first thing God's going to ask you is this. Who do you love? What do you love? And until you can come and get to a place of saying, God, I love you.
Amen. I choose you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So God's like, okay, let me see. Mm-hmm. Let me test that.
Yeah, he does.
And that's why he does it, right? And that's why he does it. So I'm no good to Megan if God is not my first love.
True.
I'm not. Because how am I going to be able to fulfill that scripture, Ephesians 5? If I don't study Christ and understand the love letter he's given me. Mm-hmm. Like, so my love life is a direct reference, reflection of my love life with Christ.
Right.
And so that's the first thing. And so what I want to share, so let me give you some practical things that we can look at to really, you know, navigate this. Because some people might be listening and saying, okay, we're getting all this, might even be getting preachy and all that stuff. So let me just bring it home to where
it is.
Right? We're bringing it home. So the first thing is this, is what I've noticed when I in any relationship, the first thing that we have to look at is, are you even interested in this relationship?
No.
You know, I mean, that's the first thing, right? That's the first thing. So because you're in love, there has to first be an interest in this relationship.
True.
If you have children, are you even interested in parenting the child?
True.
If you go to this particular place of employment, are you even interested in contributing to that company?
Right.
Right? We all start there. That's the first thing. So anyone that comes together, Are you interested? Because we got some people who says, man, you know what? You're kind of a product of a mistake. You know, you know what I mean? I'm so, right. I have no interest in you whatsoever.
Right. After you get into it, then you absolutely realize that's not it.
Right. And some people in both from the beginning to say, I'm just not interested at all.
True.
You
that's,
know, I'm not interested at all, right?
Better,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So for example, someone, you know, even our church, they come and the gospel being preached, or any mm-hmm. church for that matter. And they walk away, man. Well, how was church? Nah, I wasn't interested,
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know? And so, you know, that's the first thing where it starts. And typically, this is what I call, it's self-interest. This is the first thing we do is we have a list of what we look for in a person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We have all these things. It's all about self. And the reason why we know it's about self is because in 2 Timothy, it says, for people will be lovers of self.
True.
So the practical thing is this. Anyone you meet, listen to me. Mm-hmm. They're interested in themselves first. Don't you kid it. Don't you think that, oh, no, they're not even at the place of sacrificial love yet because they even know what that is. It's all about, I want a girl that looks like this, or I want a kid that looks like this. I want a boy. You know, I want this. Mm-hmm. I want all this. It's all about self-interest. And again, we saw that with Abraham and Sarah. So that's where it begins first.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the garden, it was all about them. They saw that it was to make one wise. They saw all these things.
Right.
There was nothing about God at all in it. It was all about Adam and Eve. It was all about Abraham and Sarah.
Right.
We are born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and that's how it is. Right.
Right?
We have a lot of self-interest. And we know that to be true. And so people may say, well, no, that's not true. It is true because the second thing is this. When you're in a relationship with somebody, the second thing is you might want to find your similar interests,
mm-hmm.
or your shared interests.
Right.
Or that relationship won't even develop, right?
Yeah.
Like, why in the world would you want to spend time with someone you have no similar interests with at all?
True.
Doesn't make any sense.
That's true.
So you now look at this person and you ask yourself, has there been enough of myself in this relationship that I can now see that that other person has made the investment as well in the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the danger is where you have invested and they have not.
Right.
They have not. They're still about themselves. So what do we have? Agenda. We have what happens? You don't trust them. A multiple amount of things happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course. Yeah.
So here's an example. Okay? So this person now, their self-interest is, you know, I want a woman, or, you know, their self-interest, you know, I want this job.
Mm-hmm.
Is their self-interest, right? Because
right.
of the fact that they like the title of it. All those things. Now they come together and you realize now that they don't have the same interest as you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They don't.
It's true.
How do you navigate that?
Right.
Because some people will say, I invested way too much. I'm staying in this relationship.
Right. And being happy.
Oh, my goodness.
The rest of their life.
Yeah. We call that settled, right?
Yeah.
You know? And so that's the danger. So I'm going to settle because I've invested too much in this relationship, mm-hmm. you know, and I want to get out of it.
Right.
And that's when we have to look back. God's like, your love life, you're in love, you're in love. And he said, no, you need to get to this place. So mm-hmm. there's the self-interest, then there's similar interest. And so you can have someone says, no, I like God, I love God. And you say, well, I love God.
Right.
That doesn't mean that you guys actually truly have similar interests. You just both happen to love God.
That's true.
And ladies just stop right there.
Apart.
Yeah, they just stop right there.
Yeah.
Oh, you love God? I love God? Okay, we're good.
That doesn't mean that you're mm-hmm. supposed to be together.
Nope.
He will tell you quickly.
Right.
If you listen.
Absolutely.
He'll tell you.
So where do we go from here then? And this is where I believe we need to go to. It's called the same interest.
Yes, absolutely.
It's the same interest. And I think that's a great place to kind of, you know, bring it full circle,
mm-hmm.
is the same interest. And so if we can get children to be in the same interest as their parents, because
mm-hmm.
then you read in 2 Timothy, he talks about it, disobedient to parents,
right.
lovers of pleasure, lovers of money. He gives all the different things that happen when you fall in love. And now he's saying mm-hmm. it first begins with, are you interested in even having a relationship?
Right.
And it comes to a place of same interest. And so Paul writes now, and he's saying, because you see, when you looked at Abraham and Sarah, they had to get to a place where there was the same interest, right? And it was the birth of their son, Isaac.
Right.
You know,
right.
that here came the promised right. seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the same interest is really neat because this is where Paul writes in Philippians now, and he says this. He says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, so this is the critical part right here. If Christ was the one that showed us what it means to be loved, then how could I have the same interest in someone who doesn't know Christ?
Right. Or love him.
So it's not that I'm saying you're not a good person.
Right.
I'm simply saying we don't have the same interest.
Right. Right. We're not on the same page.
And that is a critical thing right there.
Yes, it
right?
is.
Is being on the same page.
That's the pillar.
Big time. So a friend of mine, we meet, mm-hmm. and we're reading the same book, but I had a 2-volume book and he had the 1-volume book. Mm-hmm. So the covers look different. Mm-hmm. So Minister Linda, I thought that when he was reading something on a certain page, that I had to find a different page to read it on.
Oh, okay.
But what I realized was, though the book looks different. Mm-hmm. We were both on the same page.
Right, right.
I'm like, what page? Oh, okay, good.
Right, right.
And that's what we have to be, right? But he
Coming
begins by saying.
From the same place.
We have to be the same, and it's got to come through Christ, because he's right. the only one that knows us. So it's
wow.
not me trying to push Christ down people's throats.
No.
It's not
no
me
means.
Trying to offend people. I'm just saying, if you want to be healthy, you got to have the same interest as Christ.
Same
and
interest.
So, yeah. He says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any sympathy, he says, complete my joy being the same mind. When you're the same mind, there's
same
joy.
Mind. Yes, it is. Woo.
There's joy.
And you know the difference when it's
you
not
know the
joy.
Difference, absolutely. Between.
We're out of time.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
But I'm glad you got that point in.
Yeah,
right on the dime, but you got it in. Thank you so much, Minister Rowan,
man.
For being here with us today. And I hope a lot of you was able to pick up some points that you can share. Thank you. Till next time, be blessed.
All right.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.1 FM. From Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity. If we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy. Is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but
I can tell. With it,
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arms got going, I forgot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
never asked anybody that question.
No, I wouldn't even know. To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed her after that primary election?
Yes, and I think I go back to Abraham Lincoln. When it's the, you bring your enemies close.
That was, mm-hmm. had you ever seen a primary like that in your life?
You mean Abraham Lincoln?
you weren't there for that one. You weren't there for that one.
I read the book.
Hillary and Obama. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage, crtmechanicals.com.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit stoptextstoprex.org. A message brought to you.